So while the offering is coming around for the cards, for your faith promises, why don't you open your Bibles? Come with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I want to talk about light this morning. Who knows that light is always going to be better than darkness? And so I just want to share a message this morning on this subject, Psalm 119, verse 105. And it says this, your word. Everyone say the word word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So the word of God informs us. The word of God, what? We get informed on a lot of things, but the thing that's going to help us with our life is the word of God. The word of God informs us of God's will for our lives. And that's why we need to read it, because it's going to help us with our life. And in this verse, God's word is a light on a path that is otherwise in darkness. It shows us how to follow the right and avoid the wrong. God's word is a lamp unto my feet, so that we know how to take the next step. And so God's word is quite amazing how this works. One day during our renovations at C3 Wellard campus, I was asked by a tradesman to give him a hand. And he had a large piece of conduit, like a big piece of PVC piping. It was about 15, 20 metres long, a bit like reticulation pipe. And he said, Nigel, can you get up into the manhole and I will push this piece of pipe through so we can get all the wiring in for the sound guys later on. And so I say, okay, so I get a ladder and I I try to get up into the manhole, but my shoulders are too big. And I can't actually get right into the manhole. And there's this pipe in the way, which I think was the air conditioning pipe. And so I'm trying to look, and then I realised it's pitch black in this hole. I can't see anything. I would have known, even though it was a white pipe, how am I going to, and I'm crawling. He's saying, can you see it? He's yelling at me. He's 15, 20 metres right down the other end of the, you know, at the front door. And he's going, can you see it, Nigel? And I said, no, I can't see it. It's pitch black. And I found my torch, which happened to be in my back pocket, you know, the phone torch. I turned before I turned the phone on, the light on, I actually caught my finger trying to find the pipe on the metal, and now blood is dripping off my finger into the cavity, which now has, so my blood has built C3 Wellard. And it's drip. I could feel the drip, drip. But he's yelling at me still, Nigel. His name was Gary. So Gary's up. He's a Scotsman. He sort of speaks funny, you know. Nigel. Anyway, and so I turned the light on, and immediately I could see the pipe. And I said, I had to climb in, more so to get it and contort my body into this little space. And I grab the pipe, and by this stage, he's standing with me and he looks up and he uses quite colourful language. How did you get up in there, Nigel? You see, it sounded simple. The tradie didn't want to get into the roof cavity. He's yelling at me. Here's the thing. Light dispels darkness. Say it with me. Light dispels darkness. So when you walk across a room in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, or if you're an old person, older person, once you turn 50, you realise you have to get up anyway in the middle of the night just because, well, the ageing process has taken its toll. Sometimes if you feel a little bit hungry, you might go for the fridge. Who don't do the fridge. You see, the main function of the little toe on your foot is to make sure that all the furniture in the house is in place. Are you stumbling because you are not using your lamp? We are walking in a dark world. And in order to walk in the Spirit, who'd like to walk in the Spirit more? In order to walk in the Spirit, we must have His Word. It's got to actually be resonating within us. And otherwise, we will be left in darkness. Light takes darkness away. There is no struggle between light and darkness. No struggle whatsoever. We struggle, God doesn't. And when you enter a dark room and turn on the light, what happens? It's not a hard question. Immediately, light kills the darkness, right? It's gone. And so, John 3:20, have a look at this. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. Oh dear. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So if you are caught in darkness, in a situation you know you should not be in, your mind will tell you to keep that thing hidden. Who knows that when you've done something stupid, you try and hide it. Who knows that when you're doing some dumb things in life and you know you shouldn't be doing them, but you want to keep it a secret? Am I the only one? However, the fact is this. When you read the Bible, you will find yourself coming into the light. When you read what? My word is a... So when you read the Bible, what happens? You come into the light. Darkness will be dispelled. And if you are caught up in any kind of sin that we read in the Bible, it could be sexual sin. It could be some other kind of deception. It could be a terrible habit of lying. What will help you is telling somebody whom is going to help you. Put your trust in them, because as soon as you let it out of your mouth, what happens? Light invades darkness and you start to get free. And freedom is far better than staying in darkness. About 20 years ago, I think it was, I remember Andrew and I doing this with our children. We did not take photos like we do today. You used to get Kodak film or Fuji film. Who remembers? My children wouldn't have a clue what I'm talking about. You wouldn't know, would you? You know, that's because you're American. I mean, they're still in inches. What's that about? Anyway. About 20... Bree's like a daughter to me. It's okay. She doesn't need counselling. About 20 years ago, right? And so we'd take photos. And I heard this the other day, actually, that John Finkelde, who loves to take photos, you know, he's talking about in the old days, they used to use a camera and you have to put the film in. and his little grandson says, well, why didn't you just use your phone, Daddy? And these pictures were developed in a dark room. A red light would come on above the door. And it would tell anyone outside that dark room that processing was underway, do not enter. It would kind of like flash like that. Because if you opened the door, what would happen? The film would be lost. It would be totally gone because the light had invaded the darkness. And if there is darkness in your life, expose it to the light and immediately it goes away. And so when you get your photos back, there would be this little pouch that had negatives in them. Who remembers negatives? Everyone 40 and above, all right? And the negatives were photos you had taken in a small postage stamp size in case you wish to get any more developed at some other time. And these negatives were difficult to make out. You had to put them up to the so that you could see the photo. And if you take photos of dark things in your mind, expose them to the light and the problems. And generally, when you tell someone, you will get that thing sorted and be able to see clearly again. Luke chapter 11. Come with me. Luke chapter 11. Verse 33. No one, interesting that it says no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, who wants to have good eyes? When your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. There is a lot of darkness that you and I see every day, right? Every day, whether we like it or not, there's darkness. And a lot of negative thoughts and mindsets can develop rapidly. I mean, you just have to look, just go for a drive anywhere around and there's stolen cars abandoned. You watch the news reports. Even in Australia now, there's more murders, there's rape, there's drug usage, financial markets. Let's not talk about the banks and all the, you know, there's all this stuff politicians doing seemingly crazy things, behaving badly. And the news has a lot of bad reports and not too many good ones. However, when we read light, when we read the Word of God, that was interesting. When we read the Word of God and we allow the light to get into our body, it is transforming. Your Word is a lamp. Your word is a? And when we read His word regularly, what used to attract us, what used to attract you, what used to attract me, becomes repulsive. Because the more we read the word of God, the less we can see certain things, the less we can watch certain things, the less we can get involved in certain practices, because we are living by the word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet and darkness has to dispel. Who'd like to live in that camp? And secondly, light recovers lost things. Light recovers lost things. Luke 15, just a couple of pages over. I don't hear many rustles because all of you are using your phones. Luke 15, verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbours together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I have lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So verse 10 gives us the interpretation of the entire parable. Actually, there was a lost sheep, which is also referring to people. There is a lost son, referring obviously to a person. And here a lost coin, also actually referring to a person. In all these parables of Jesus, he is talking to us about the value of every single person and how important every single person is to him. And so if you lose your job, what do you do? You light a lamp. If you lose your reputation, what do? You light a lamp. If you if you have a pull back from the word of God, then you will pull back from the things that will actually give you the breakthrough in your future. Because the word of God is a lamp unto my feet. That I didn't see that coming. But sometimes we have the capacity to run the other way when God wants us to run to him and find a miracle in the running to him. And so it says in Hebrews 4:10, see, here's the thing before I get there. We can lose sight of our lives. We can lose sight of our relationship with Jesus, our first love. We can get busy in life and we can unravel in our life. And the most important thing in this life is our relationship with our God, our family and our friends. All the other things are really, they're temporary anyway. And so Hebrews 4:10. For he who has entered his rest, everyone say his rest. His rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. You and I need to understand the pattern of God for our lives. In Genesis chapter 2 states that God himself rested after creating the earth in its entirety. Is anyone glad for the world that we live in? Andrew and I went for a walk this morning along the beach and I couldn't help but think, what a beautiful creation. What an amazing God. Who would have thought of making those incredible colours? And what God created was good. And we can be doing good work, but that does not mean that we should not rest. And you and I have limitations and God has set the minimum standard. Rest on the seventh day. Have a day off. And importantly, God wants us to be in his house and come into the house of God and worship him. And you will stay in the light when you do this. It's important for us. I think God knows better than we do, don't you? In Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so the Bible, what this is saying is that the Bible divides between the soul and the spirit. The soul is your mind, it's your emotions and your will, how you think and how you feel. If I asked that question, we'd all have varying answers today. How do you think and feel? See, the Word of God divides between what we think is right and what really is right. Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities? All your iniquities, all your sin, and heals all your diseases. God forgives all your sins. But sometimes you and I don't believe it. But he does. That's his word. God heals all your diseases. But it may be that you do not actually take this seriously. You see, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's got freedom for you. He has a great plan for your life, and when we read his word and we allow his light to come onto our life, there comes another area of living that actually some of those areas that used to be a part of our world that would hurt us, they're no longer there, because I'm going to live according to the word of God and live in the light. And so light recovers lost things. Say it with me. Light recovers lost things. And thirdly, light shows the way. Light shows the way. You know, there's some big decisions that each of us need to make in life. Choosing the right marriage partner, big decision. What house to buy? What school to send our kids to? Parenting our children. Financial decisions. Our job, our career. They're all big decisions that we make in life. I want to ask you this morning, can God give you particular revelation? Can God give you particular revelation? Yes, he can. And so what I find is that many people expect someone else to tell them how their lives should run. And when actually we all have a personal relationship with Jesus, we access to our God than everyone else. And God will speak to you through his word. He does this for me with many things. Now, with our Rise Up theme this year, God spoke to me through Nehemiah when I think it was in holidays down in Margaret River or somewhere late last year. Yeah. And I didn't know at that stage that we were actually going to be buying a building for Wellard. But I knew this theme because it just lit up the page. Are you hearing me this morning? It just lit up. And so Nehemiah became like a bit of a book for me to read, particularly the beginning and the middle of the year. God spoke to Andrea and I about moving to Fremantle 23 years ago. His word came alive to us. On that, when Andrew and I and my son Jared, who was 8 months old at the time, he's at Wellard leading the worship down there today. We had no family connections here in Fremantle. We had no friends in the area. We had no job prospects once we'd moved. So I wasn't moving because of my work. I did have my own small business, but that was a bit shaky. And I had no clients in the area at all. And when we had shifted, there was a struggle. That would be wrong to say. It wasn't just, oh, it's so good. We just shifted house, took our eight-month-old baby to an area we didn't know. And back then, Fremantle was not like it is now. It's got heaps better. And part of the reason for that is because we've made an influence. We've started to change things here. But anyway, back to this. None of the hardships matter if you're in the will of God. Because there's a joy that comes on the inside of you. There's a gladness that you get that, you know what, in the end it's just laughable the amount of things that went wrong. Oh, well. Kids are in hospital for a week long. Jared ate all the paint off the floor, which had a serious amount of vermin poison on it. He's okay. You just can't speak properly every now and then, but I think that's just a boy thing. And what I find is that people, they have a little problem, a little bump, occurs in their faith, and they pack up and they go where they think it's going to be easier. And you and I need to be grounded. Say it with me, grounded. In God, in His church, put our roots down and live by the Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet. It dispels darkness and we live in freedom, right? Isaiah 58:12. This passage has come back to me of late. It was a verse that God gave particularly to me when we were moving to Fremantle all those years ago. And it's now significant. And those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Fremantle was lacking spiritually, and there was prayers that went up before us, but there was all, when we moved in, there wasn't a Pentecostal church in Fremantle. There is now, and we are able to be here and have broken through simply by allowing the Word of God to penetrate into our lives and into the environment beyond. Now, Fremantle did not have the generations. This verse talks about the generations. Many generations. It didn't have generations serving God in one place. It does now. It didn't have much light. Well, there's a place of hope here now. Fremantle was a place of hardship and trouble for many. And in fact, when we had our drug clinic years ago, many of the druggies would say, well, we've just come here to die. But now people can find restoration. Port community, the lunch helps with that. Our port care helps with that. And so all these areas together, actually, it's just following the word is a lamp unto my feet. It brings life and light to other people. You see, I don't know about you, but this verse is all about this was what it was like spiritually, but now there is life in this place, and it's because we've decided as a group to stick together and just keep worshiping Him, and God builds the whole church and goes across nations, and we become an influence across many other areas as well, simply because we decide without a shadow of a doubt, you know what? As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'll worship you, Lord. This is my place. So how do you, like I've just been talking about from Andrea and my life, or our family's life, how do you get this kind of specific revelation for your own life? I want to give you the, who'd like to know? Okay, get a pen, or I'll give you three things. Three things. One, praise. Two, I'll explain these. Prayer. Three, proclamation. Praise, prayer, proclamation. Three P's. We got them, church? Those that want to write them down? Praise, prayer, proclamation. If you truly desire to have His Word as a lamp unto your feet, who truly desires that today? If you truly desire to have the Word as a lamp unto your feet, the first thing you must not hesitate to do is praise Him. You've got to give Him some praise. You've got to come into the house of God and praise Him. Who knows that when you come into church, you're probably under all sorts of different stuff has gone on during your week, and you come into church and the first song and after that, there's like a freedom that comes on you. It's because we praise Him. What happens is we lift our faith and the things of the week, they start to fall off us. The dust, the dirt, the grime of our week, it falls away and we're able to praise the living God. So you've got to praise Him. Psalm 100, just to give some scripture, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout to God. Enter His gates with thanksgivings, another psalm. And so, first, praise him. Second, what are we got to do? Pray. Pray. We have to what? We have to pray. What do you have to pray about? Well, pray about the things that you need to pray about. I'm serious. Pray about the things that you need to pray about. You've activated your faith. You're in praise mode. Thank you, Jesus. And don't just do this on Sunday. Get up every morning and thank him and have a spirit of gratitude for what you do have. And when we do that, second, we actually activate our prayer life. And so if you need a job, what's a good thing to pray for? A job. If you need to pray into your marriage, oh, it get quiet. If you need to pray into your marriage, what do you need to? You got to. If your marriage is having troubles, what are you going to do? You got to pray into it. You need to, darling. You need to, darling. Yeah. Who's glad Andrea's in church this morning? Normally in kids' church these days at one of the locations, but hey, I don't mind a bit of banter. Helps me out a bit, actually. So if it's your business that you've got concerns about or you're thinking about the next year, what do you got to do? Pray. Now, I'm going to add some more to this, but if it's your children, who knows that you always need to pray for your children? And it doesn't stop when they're adults. You pray for your kids all the time. That's why we're parents. Oh, I think we're not far behind, mate. You know. And thirdly, what was I? Let's get stay on track. Thirdly, proclaim. Now, what am I talking about here? So we read God's word. Where do I read his book? It's a big book, Nigel. We don't just go anywhere. If you've got a marriage problem, where do you think you should go? Go to scriptures. Go to Ephesians 5. Go to 1 Corinthians 7. Actually look at Moses and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. And have a look at how they did life together. Have a look at all the places where marriage is and read those and you know what's going to happen because you've praised him and you've ignited your faith and then you've gone to prayer and you've allowed God into that situation and then you think, okay, Lord, I really want to activate. I want to hear from you and you open the Word of God and you read that area that you need to read about and woof, there's a revelation that comes. About what to do about that situation with your children. About what to do about your husband or wife. And normally it's just God saying, no, you do your bit. Leave him or her to me. There's some counselling right there. Okay, that's as far as I go with counselling, by the way. If it's true, right? Praise, pray, and proclamation. Music team, you didn't come up. I gave you lots of warnings this morning. You're enjoying church. Who thinks our worship teams at both locations do a sensational job? Yeah. Praise him. Because who knows, we need to realign our focus. And we get down in the doldrums. Andrew was only talking about this to me today on the way, when we were having our little walk this morning. You got to praise him. Pray to him. About the things you want to know about concerning your life. Allow the light of his word to be a lamp unto your feet, to dispel darkness, to recover lost things. You know, God's good at recovering lost things. He wants to recover lost things. We're going to talk about this in our theme next year. It's a huge part of it. Recover lost things. And lastly, proclaim. When you read His word and follow His pattern, you will get a word from God. You'll hear His still, quiet voice. So why don't we stand to our feet? Lord, I thank You that light dispels darkness. Lord, I on behalf of everyone and myself included, Lord, I ask that the word of God would be a lamp unto our feet. That we would allow the word of God and our prayer life to recover lost things. And when things aren't going like they should, I pray that we would open the word and look at those areas that we need to look at. And allow Your Holy Spirit to speak to us so that we may engage in a whole new level of living in faith and light in Jesus' name. Why don't we just sing this song and worship God this morning? Thanks, music team.